What? Tell me your name, brother.
Louise.
Good to have you tonight. Good to have Roy and Francis back. David, good to see David. He hadn't been out for a little while. Good to see everybody. Well, I got a little story to tell you. There's a church here in Texas that was looking for a pastor because their pastor was going to retire. And so they heard about this pastor down in Houston that was wanting to retire, wanting to move back to North. He wanted to move back to North Texas because he had family up here. And so the pulpit committee went to Houston to check on this pastor down there. So they went down there, and the first Sunday they were there, it was a good service, and the pastor preached about 10 minutes. And they, on the way home, they said, well, I really like that guy, but boy, that sure was short, but it was a good message. Well, the next week they thought, well, let's go back down there and hear him again. So they went back down there, and this time he preached about 30 minutes. Thought, man, that's pretty good. And it was a good message. They enjoyed it and everything. Well, they decided the next week to go one more time. Uh-oh. They went down and he preached an hour and 45 minutes. And so they got home and said, man, on the way home, they was like, man, that's a long, long service. Said it was good, but it was long. Well, they got to talking to each other, all the committee. They said, well, we're going to go back down there, but we're going to go down there and have a meeting with him, talk to him. So they go back down there and they go in his office and they said, Pastor, we really have enjoyed your services and enjoyed your messages. Said, but we just got a few questions. They said, the first time we were here, you preached for 10 minutes. Said, and it was good. Said, then the second week, you preached for 30 minutes. Said, it was good. But then that third week, you preached for an hour and 45 minutes. We was wondering what was the difference on, you know, why it's such a different amount of time that you preached. He said, well, brothers, he said, that first week you were here, I just got my brand new teeth. And they were hurting bad. He said, so I had to get it done, you know. I couldn't go long. He said, now that second week, they were feeling good. He said, and I went about 30 minutes and said, that's about average. That's pretty good average time. They said, well, what happened that third week, hour and 45 minutes? He said, well, I got up that morning and I put on my wife's teeth.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord. Shame on you.
Hey.
Neither one of us got false teeth, so I don't have to worry about that. All right. Well, this chapter is a little bit short, and so tonight I'm going to talk real slow so it don't end up too short. No, just kidding. That just came to me, and I thought, I'm going to tell him that. I'm going to talk real slow. No. All right, we're doing chapter 12 tonight. This chapter took place in 44 A.D. Now, before I go into the chapter, I'm going to give you a little history about the Herodians. And the Herodians is Herod and his brothers and sons and all the ones that became king over Judah. Now, the first one, Herod, what they considered him, Herod the Great, was the Jewish king when Jesus was born. And he's the one that had all the children under 2 years old killed, trying to kill, make sure Jesus didn't, because he knew who Jesus was, or who he knew who the Messiah was, and that's what he was afraid of. Because he was afraid to lose his kingdom. You know, if this Messiah, because the people believed that the Messiah was going to come, the Jewish people believed the Messiah was going to come and set up his kingdom here on earth. And so, you know, and Herod was schooled in the law. He knew the scripture. And so he was trying to prevent those things from happening. Then his son, Herod Antipas, I think's how you say it, he was king when Jesus was crucified. And that was one of Herod's sons. He was also the king that had John the Baptist beheaded. And then there was Herod Agrippa, number one. Herod Agrippa first. He was a grandson of Herod the Great. And he kind of had a dual authority between the Romans and the Jews. He tried to stay in good, real good with both sides, play both sides, in other words. He wanted to please the people. But he wanted to please the Romans too, because the Romans had to rule. And he heard, you know, he had heard about, this is my little, what do you call it from the chapter before? Recap. This is my little short recap of chapter 11. Herod had heard that there was lots of people coming to the Lord. You know, because he wasn't stupid. He heard and saw all these things. And that's your recap. And he wanted to stop it. You know, he didn't want it to go any further.
Right.
Okay. We're going to start with the first verse. I got to get my glasses. I'm reading out of my Bible, and it's this little smaller. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So it was in the time of feast days. And so he killed James. And then he was going to take Peter and probably was going to try and do the same thing. But because of the feast, like I said, Herod knew the laws. And he tried to follow the laws. And so that held him back from doing anything further at that moment. But the killing James pleased the religious folks, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the highly religious folks of the Jews. And it pleased them, so, you know, Herod was happy about that because, like I said, he played both sides. You know, he followed what his grandfather and his father and brothers and all of them, the Herodians, he followed their tradition of what they stood for, because all of them hated Jesus and anybody who stood for Jesus and preached Jesus, all of his followers. And so that's where they were. They were... Herod's would do anything to try to eliminate anyone who preached Jesus or would follow after Jesus. They would do whatever it took to try to eliminate that problem. Verse 4 says, and when he had apprehended, boy, I can't read. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. You know, and Herod must have recalled a prior situation that happened about 12 years before this in chapter 5, where the apostles were put in prison and the angels came and delivered him out of the prison, because four quaternions of soldiers, that's 16 soldiers for one man. He was scared of him. He was afraid of what might take place. 16 men to hold one man. Verse 5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto him, unto God for him.
Right.
So they were gathered together and they were praying without ceasing, fervently praying for God to deliver Peter out of prison. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on the sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he had saw a vision. He didn't really know where he was at. All he thought he was seeing a vision of what might have took place. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth under the city, which opened them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all expectation of the people of the Jews. You know, it took him a little bit to realize that it wasn't a vision. He had to shake himself and come to realize. It made me think of my dad. My dad was a sleepwalker, and he was raised around Chillicothe and Vernon and up in that area. And he said there was nights he would wake up a mile from the house because he had walked out. And his parents never heard him leave, but they always heard him come back in. My grandpa would say, Raymond, is that you? Yeah. But get out there wherever he ended up, he would wake up and look around, see where it's at, and walk back home. That is so weird to me, but he did. And that kind of made me think of that when I was reading this, because Peter had to come to himself and realize, hey, I'm not dreaming this. This is real. I'm out of the prison. I'm walking down the streets. And so That's what he did, to realize where he was at and what had been done. And when he had considered the thing, he came to him to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together. It's where they were gathered together praying. And praying for him that the Lord would release him. 13, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came and to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter, she knew his voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. Yeah, I can just see a little kid like, oh, it's Peter. Instead of opening the door, run to tell everybody. Well, she ran to tell everybody, but they didn't believe her. No, you're mad. In other words, you're crazy. And so they didn't believe her. But Peter continued knocking, and finally they come and open the door and realize that it really was him, and they were astonished. They'd been fervently praying that the Lord would release him, but then they couldn't believe their prayers that God really did it. Here he is standing before them, and it's like, okay, you know, so couldn't believe it. But then the soldiers were all stirred up because Peter was gone, and they didn't have a clue where he was. They didn't know what had happened to him, because whether they were asleep or the Lord just put them in a trance or whatever, they didn't realize that he had left until later. Of course, as soon as Herod figured that out, verse 19 says, and when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. You know, he examined the soldiers that was keeping him, and for whatever reason, he wasn't pleased with their answers. And so he had them killed. So eight soldiers was killed because Peter walked out of that prison. Then down in verse 21 says, upon a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration. You know, he must have been a good speaker. He must have been a good orator, because all the people were just, woo, you know, listen to this guy. And the people gave a 22. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not a man." What a dangerous thing! And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he didn't give God the glory. He accepted the glory that they were dishing out, saying that, "Oh, this is a God. This isn't a man." He took it for himself instead of giving God the glory, and it costed him. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not glory, got not God the glory. And he was eaten with worms and gave up the ghost. I mean, that's immediate judgment. Immediate judgment. Kind of like Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Ghost and dropped dead. You know, but this is even, well, I wouldn't say it's even more, but, you know, Ananias and Sapphira lied, but he tried to accept the glory of God instead of giving God the glory. Dangerous place.
Right.
Very dangerous place. You know, we have to be very careful not to, and whatever you've done or whatever, you know, somebody starts praising you too much, it's like, well, wait a minute. I'm just me. God did whatever it may be. You know, we got to give God the glory and always remember that. And, you know, because I don't want to get eaten with worms or anything else come on me because I took the glory of God on myself. Verse 24 says, but the word of God grew and multiplied. You know, and if we look at all the things that have taken place in Acts up to this point, or up to where we are, all the things that have happened, everything that happened glorified God. And everything that happened, the church grew. You know, and it seemed like the more that the enemy tried to hold down the apostles and the people that were testifying and preaching Jesus, the more he tried to hold them down, the bigger it got. More and more and more people came to the Lord and received the Lord and were born again. You know, and we've seen that in our time because, you know, the one situation that I'm thinking of just right off is, I knew I'd forget his name if I didn't put it on my paper. The young man that was killed, last year? Charlie Kirk. Just like when he was killed, because they were trying to stop his mouth, stop the word of God that he stood for, it just exploded. And lots of people came to the Lord. A lot of people turned. You know, just because a lot of people come to the Lord, not everybody does. And some people even get hard. But a lot of people come to the Lord. You know, the Word of God is powerful and can't be stopped. Right. Cannot be stopped. No matter what people think, the Word of God is powerful. And that's chapter 12. I told you I should have talked slow. I should have talked real, real slow.